Good to see you. Get your Bible tonight. We're going to have to go real fast tonight. Get your Bible, Revelation chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12. I won't get through with much of it. I got a lot to say and ain't got a lot of time. I said sometimes on Wednesday nights I feel like I'm back at the jail or the nursing home, you know, and have a handful of people come out. I remember when I was a boy preacher, a long time ago, you know, 25, 26 years old. If I could get two people to preach to, I'd be so happy. I'd be so happy if two would show up. And I'd act like I had 100 people, man. Amen. Amen. And but there's more and more of them shutting down on Wednesday night. I'm telling you, I heard of another one last week. Another Baptist church turned out their lights on Wednesday night. Well, they turn them out on Sunday night and don't turn them back on till Sunday morning, the next Sunday morning. And it's not, you know, I used to blame it on myself, but it's people do what they want to do. People do what they want to do, you know. And so thank you all for coming. As long as one of you will come, you and my wife, we'll preach. Now, if she comes, just me and her, she already knows all I'm going to say. So, ain't nothing. She's heard it all before. All right, chapter 12. Now, before we get started, I just want to tell you that in Revelations chapter 12, now we've been studying, I've been jumping back and forth Sunday night or Wednesday night, and then we've been interrupted. But chapter 12 through 14, they explain the prophecies of some of those movements there in the second half of the time of tribulation. And so we're going to get into that. And chapter 11, verse 15 is where we read the seven trumpets. You remember that? The seven trumpets. Well, what the last of those seven trumpets is not described until chapter 15 through 18. 14 has absolutely nothing to do with those trumpets. What we're going to do, we're going to get a peek into heaven and see a little bit about the devil, Satan, old Slewfoot. My first pastor called him Smutty Face, old Smutty Face. How's he been? He said, call him Smutty Face. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. In chapter 12, verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Now, I want you to notice this. If you'll turn, if you can, and I'll talk while you turn, okay? Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Turn back to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Now, you probably already know it. You can just about guess it from reading it. But this represents the nation of Israel, and it's about to give birth to the child Jesus. And so if you turn to Micah 5, 2, there's prophecy concerning that. But thou, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old and from everlasting. So that woman represents Israel, and the child is Jesus Christ. Now, some people I've read said the child is the church. Not so. That wasn't prophesied about the church. Israel didn't produce the church. Jesus produced the church. Israel produced the Savior that started the church, okay? The church didn't bring forth Christ, so I know it can't be Israel. And if you watch people on TV, like, there used to be a guy named, some of y'all might remember him, Garner Ted Armstrong. And he was really a cult. They called it the Worldwide Church of God, which had absolutely nothing to do with Church of God, but that's what they called it. And all he preached on was prophecy. Well, he said that the church was the child, and then later on, he said that Israel was the child. And so, you can't say it's either one, because Israel produced the child as prophesied. And there's a lot of other scriptures on that too. And then I want you to see this. Look at where it says And read it again. A great wonder in heaven, woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. Now, the sun represents the glory of Israel, the glory of God on Israel. Anytime you see the sun mentioned, you know it's talking about the glory of God. And it's not the glory of the church. It's the glory of God on the nation of Israel, because God chose and produced the nation of Israel to bring forth His Son, which started the kingdom of God on earth, which is now those of us who are born again. So when He talks about she was clothed with the sun, great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon was under her feet. That alludes to she's kind of got dominion. She's up there with the sun and the stars and the moon. She's standing on the moon. And so that means dominion. So God used Israel in a great way. And also, you can go back to Genesis 37. And most of you are in my Sunday school class. Do y'all remember Genesis 37? I bet you don't. Go back and you will. Turn back to Genesis 37. Genesis 37, we'll start with verse 9. Look at it with me. Now, those 12 stars, they represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Go back and look. Look at Genesis 37. Look at verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. The father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Now, he's talking about the birth of Israel there. And those were the 12 tribes of Israel. And as you know, as we studied on in the book of Genesis in Sunday school, they did. They came and they bowed down to him because he was the second most powerful man on planet Earth at that time. And there were 11 mentioned in there, and Joseph was the 12th. Do y'all see what I'm saying? So we know he's talking about Israel, and it's symbolic. He didn't really see a woman that was clothed with the sun or the moon under her feet and upon her head had a crown of 12 stars. No, he saw that, but it was symbolic of the nation of Israel, just like a fig tree is. You see, sometimes there's symbolism in the Bible. If you can't take it literally, then take it symbolic and try to figure out what it means and look up other scriptures that say the same thing. When I first got saved, I'm going to show you all something. When I first got saved, my wife bought me a Thomas Nelson King James Version made by Thomas Nelson, publisher, and it has center column references. And this is Scofield, but it has center column references. And I didn't know, I started reading it, didn't know what that was for, and it had little letters beside stuff in a verse. And I didn't know how to. And so my wife, she said, if you're reading a verse that says A right here, go over here and find the A, and it's probably going to give you another verse or a little explanation. If it gives you another verse, turn to it and read it. So I started doing that. Now, it'll slow you down if you're trying to read the Bible through real quick, but I'm telling you something. I would turn like this one in A. It says Jeremiah 25:15-26, I'd turn over there, and if it had a letter beside it, I'd turn to it. And I learned you could go all the way through the Bible on one word or one subject, all the way through the scriptures, and it all hooked together. And to show you how that's important, listen to this. I had a man teaching Sunday school for me one time, and he had a friend. His friend went to the chain gang with me every Monday night. I went every Monday night. Nice guy. He'd go back there with me and invite him to come out, you know, and give him gospel tracts and stuff. And I'd never paid attention to his Bible. I just hadn't. And I'd preach, and if somebody needed to get saved, he'd help me pray with them and stuff like that. Well, he was coming to church, and that was a friend of the Sunday school teacher. And the Sunday school teacher got up one Sunday and said, I've asked my friend to teach. And I call his name, but I'm not going to because it'll be recorded. He said, "Brother so and so is going to teach Sunday school," and it just hit me. I didn't know a lot about this guy, so I said, "Okay, there's only two conditions to teach Sunday school here." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Number one, you're going to have to be saved." You say, "Yeah, I'm saved. I'm sure. Yeah. Number two, you got to have a King James Bible." And I kind of doubted that he did because he looked funny at me then. I said, "I tell you," and I've already turned mine to the scripture he gave us. And I said, "I got to go check on some more Sunday school classes. I'm going to let you borrow mine." I laid it in front of him. 10 minutes later, I'd done everything I had to do, and I come back. And he said, "Well, that's all I can say." He said, "I've taught the whole lesson. I did have more to say, but the King James Version references don't agree with the New American Standard references, so I've run out of things to say." And I thought to myself, well, that ought to tell you something. They cut out some words somewhere. They cut out some verses. They changed things where it wouldn't match anymore, so he couldn't run his references. But I'm telling you, when you're reading passages like this, if you'll go down, get you a center column reference, or some of you's got little references at the end of your verses and stuff, you follow those references. Go read that. And then if that verse has one at the end of it, go read it. And it may take you a week to get back where you left from. But you'll know a whole lot of Bible by the time you get back. Amen? And my wife had an open study Bible. They call it an open study Bible. And it had some master outlines. I studied them. By the time I went to Bible college, I knew most of that stuff they were teaching me just by reading the Bible. I already knew it. See? So, back to the lesson. Look at verse 2. "And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered." Now, whether you believe it or not, Israel went through a lot of pain to birth the Savior. They went through a lot of things to be the nation that God had chosen to bring forth His Son. And so he's comparing it like a woman, travail, hard work, travail, labor pain, like a woman giving birth to a child, and that's exactly what Israel had to do. If you will, now, God keeps His promises. He never quits. But if you will, I want you to notice Romans chapter 8, if you will. Go to Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 22. Romans chapter 8. And there ain't many of us here tonight. We got time. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 22 and 23. Now, here's that word again. I'm telling you, if you'll follow these words, you'll learn some things. That word travail, we don't use that hardly anymore. It's a good English word. It means hard work. How many of you ladies would say it's hard work to give birth to a baby? Would you? You got a shot, didn't you? They gave you a shot, didn't they? It hurt till they give it to you, though, didn't it? No? You cheated. You remember how hard it was. But the point being, labor, if a woman's going to have a child, she's going to have to go through labor, travail. And it's the same way when God brought forth His Son, a nation had to go through labor to give birth to the Son of God. Look at verse 22 in chapter 8 of Romans. "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Now, what he's talking about in verse, you have to go back to verse 18 and start over, but the nation of Israel had to go through a lot of pain to produce the Savior that we now have. Amen? And so, I want you to look at that second verse again. "And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered." That's the Lord Jesus. That's the Lord Jesus. Now, we got pictures. We're looking up in heaven, Brother Rick. Here's a woman. It's a great wonder. She's clothed in the sun, and the moon is up under her feet. And upon her head, there's a crown with 12 stars in it. That's Israel. That's Israel. Do you see that? Can anybody else see that? Boy, it's pretty easy to see. Verse 3. And then there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, you know well as I do, just as well as I do, that this was in ages past. Do y'all understand that? This didn't happen in heaven during the tribulation period. He's telling you that God had a plan through Israel to produce a Savior, and the devil had a plan to destroy that Savior and destroy that church that he wanted to make. And in ages past, before the world, before man was ever created, Satan rebelled against God. You remember? Satan rebelled against God, that old red dragon. That's the only place in the Bible he's called a dragon. And that's symbolic of the devil, you know. And way back, Satan rebelled against God. And he said, I will sit on the throne of God. I will be like the Most High. And God said, no, you're not going to do that. And he cast him out of heaven. But before he cast him out, he led a rebellion, and one third of the angels were cast out with him. Now, don't answer me out loud because you may embarrass yourself. Where's the devil at now? He ain't in hell. It didn't say he cast him into hell. He cast him to the earth. You just read it. Huh? He's walking to and fro in the earth. He said that with Job. He's walking to and fro in the earth. He still reports to God, but he doesn't live in heaven anymore, but he doesn't live in hell either. Don't let anybody ever tell you that. That's not going to happen until the great judgment. He'll be cast into the lake of fire, and so will those angels. But right now, they are Satan, we call him the devil, and demons, fallen angels. And listen, they're not carrying pitchforks, they don't have pointed tails, they don't have horns on their head. The Bible says that he can become as an angel of light. You got to remember, in heaven, he's beautiful. He was in charge of looking over the throne. And if you don't think you can stir him up, let me tell you something. I was looking at some stuff today. Brother Tony Green, they got their church in a terrible neighborhood, but they got a big sign out there in front of the church. It's way up there. It's been there since 1940 or 50-something. And they can put stuff on that sign. Well, years ago, about 2 or 3 years ago now, maybe longer than that, maybe 4 years ago, he put on there, Satan was the first one to demand equal rights. Now, because his neighborhood is full of blacks and homosexuals, they thought he was talking about them. And go home, look it up. Look up Pastor Tony Green, Knoxville, Tennessee. You'll see it. They ran it in the United Kingdom paper. They ran it in the California TV show. They ran it in the Kentucky and Tennessee TV shows. They ran it all over this country. News people came out there trying to interview him. He called me when it happened. He said, I've made a big mistake. I never would have thought it would turn out like this. He said, I'm getting bomb threats. I got people threatening to kill me and shoot me because I put that scripture on that sign. He stirred up the devil. And finally, the Knoxville TV station reporter talked him into an interview. He said, because I wouldn't give him interviews because I knew they were going to attack me and make fun of me and call me a bigot and everything else. He said, I wasn't talking about homosexuality, but that's what they say I was talking about. He said, I'm just talking about the devil was the first one to make demands with God. And so he gave her an interview, and he told her that story, and he told her the scripture, But soon as they took him off, the news people turned it right back around and said he hates blacks and he hates homosexuals. The devil's alive, buddy. He is alive and well on planet Earth. Now, he don't look like a dragon, but he's bad as a dragon. And that's what it's saying. That is symbolic of a terrible, deadly creature. And I don't make fun of the devil. I don't do it. I don't mess with him. I don't mess with him. Now, I've got God protecting me. He'll take care of me. But I'll be honest with you. I'm not smart enough nor powerful enough to take on the devil by myself.
Amen.
That's right. And so, he's like a dragon. A fire-breathing dragon. But he's beautiful. He's beautiful. He won't come to you ugly. He'll come to you beautiful. And then, guess what? There ain't but one devil he can't be in, but one place at one time, Brother Holroyd. So if he's down at your house, who's that over at my house? Demons. He's got demons. And I'm not important enough for him to mess with me. He just sends a little old demon to mess me up, but that's all it takes, a little old demon to mess with me. But the fallen angels, one third of all the angels in heaven were cast out to the earth, and they're wandering to and fro, seeking whom they may devour, and it's just the grace of God that we're not all destroyed by Satan and his crowd. It's just grace of God. We're talking about this crooked... We just saw a little bit of demonic, devilish behavior in the past election. Just a little bit of it. We're talking about wicked people in high places. We're talking about a whole political party that has turned into a crime family. And we've just seen a little bit of it. And people get killed and die when they see that kind of stuff. Listen, the devil is alive and well, and he's working 24/7. He never, him and his crowd, they don't take vacation. They don't take rest. They go, 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 because the Bible says they know their time is short. And they're wide open right now. And unless all you listen to is MTV or country music television or something, or unless you keep your head buried in a hole somewhere and you never see or read or hear news, you know well as I do, the devil's been working overtime the past few months. And we talk about people that kill people and how people kill and smile at you and tell you how much good they're going to do for you. I'm going to do something for you. It's going to be good. And same time they're telling you that, they're arranging somebody to have a car wreck. They're arranging somebody to get murdered or killed or something. I'm telling you, we better be careful about the devil. He's alive and well. And here he is. When Israel brought forth Jesus, he was there. He was there. He saw the whole thing. And I'm going to get off subject here, but my wife will amen this. She'll remember it. Billy Burgess ain't here, but his daddy told us one time that Northside Baptist Church in Charlotte, they had a video of a girl that was demon-possessed, and they had cast the demons out of her. Well, I hadn't been preaching long. I didn't know much about all that kind of stuff. And I said, well, where can you see it? He said, well, you have to make a reservation up there, and you go up there, and they will show it to you. They won't let nobody have it. They won't let anybody else mess with it. You go up there, and they'll show it to you. So we got a group together. There was a couple carloads of us. Matter of fact, I missed my exit coming home on I-85. I remember that. My brother followed me, and he got lost. Larry did. He fussed at me after that. We got up there, and it wasn't but a handful of us, about like this. And we went in this little room, and they had a movie screen. And back then, they had it was on a big reel, you know. And what had happened was Dr. Hudson, who was pastor at Northside for years and years, some of y'all might remember him, he had a radio program every Sunday night. Every Sunday night, you could turn on the radio and hear his preaching service. And so he said after the service, he was in the office, and he got a telephone call. And this girl said, I don't know why I'm calling you. Said, and it goes on, you know, I've never been to church. I wasn't raised in church, didn't go to church. I turned on my radio, and I was changing channels, and that's back when you had a knob. And she said, the knob fell off where you was preaching, and I listened to it, and I'd never heard anything like that, and I had some questions. And she was at a payphone. And don't see them anymore either, do you? She was at a payphone. And he said she gave her his name. She gave her name and a little bit of her background. She was raised by witches. Her dad was a warlock. Her mom was a witch. They were out of Atlanta. They had a lot to do with the heavy metal rock bands. You know, they anointed their songs and stuff like that. He said, what kind of music you listen to? And rock music? She said, no, I listen to classical music. I was raised on classical music. I don't listen to rock. I don't listen to country. She said, sound real intelligent. She said, but it's unusual that I would listen to your channel. The knob fell off. I got questions. And he said, so I asked her, said, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever been born again? So about that time, things went silent for just a second. Then a blood-curdling scream come across the phone, a man's voice, British accent, and scream, said, don't talk to her about that. She's ours. You can't have her. Anyway, long story short, that went on. Then there was another telephone conversation between him and his youth pastor. The second one was him and his wife. His wife threw the phone down and ran out when she heard it. And but the youth pastor and the demon told the youth pastor told the girl on the phone, said, do you know that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin? And he said, that's the key right there when you talk about that. That demon screamed and told him to shut up. She's ours. You can't have her. And he said, you ain't right. And the youth pastor said, I am right. That's what Scripture said. And that man's voice said, It's not the Scripture I'm talking about. It's you. You ain't right. Dr. Hudson said, put the phone down. The devil knows what you're doing. Put the phone down. Anyway, they finally got her in the building. And they tried to film it, except the camera, all you could see was basically her legs. She didn't sit where she didn't know they were filming her, and she didn't sit where they wanted to sit. But anyway, they moved a little bit. But while they were talking, they got said something about the blood of Jesus, and one of the demons said, and by the way, there's hundreds in them, and one of the demons says in another voice, a man, sound like a, y'all ain't never heard nothing, sound like when the Bible says it sounds like a thousand waters or something, that's what it sounded like. And it said something about the cross or the blood, and that demon said, we know it. We were there. We saw the whole bloody mess. Anyway, by the time it's over, they cast the demons out, and the next day they go see her again, and she accepts Christ. And she started going around talking to kids about, you know. But the point being, before the cross, I got thinking about this. I told them why. I said, we didn't talk for a long time going home. I had feelings I'd never had. Yeah. Yeah.
He said, when we get there, we've got something for your friends at PPL.
That's what he said.
That's the truth.
And then when she sat,
before
anybody knew it, yeah. And then while she sat on that chair, she was barefooted. She was a hippie looking girl. And he was trying to talk to her about Jesus, and the demon took over. Her eyes rolled back in her head, and her head fell back, and her mouth would barely move, but this man's voice would come out, and her foot raised up. And it pointed right at his heart. And that demon said, I can give you a heart attack right now. And he said, no, you can't. God won't let you do that. Yeah, he claimed the blood again. And then they got talking a little bit later. That demon lifted up that foot and pointed right at him. And he said, we can do the same thing we did for Jim Baker and those up there at PTL if you want us to. And that was before we ever knew anything about it. So the point I'm making is this. He ain't dead. And he's got a plan. And he's working his plan right now. When Jesus was born, he had a plan to kill him. The day he was born. That's why Herod had all the babies killed up to 3 years old. Devil did that. The devil, do you understand what I'm saying? The devil, before the foundation of the world was ever laid, knew the plan. He knew where the birth would be. He knew who the person giving birth would be. He knew it would be Israel. He knew who Jesus was going to be because he saw the plan. He's with God all those eons of ages. And now he's in Israel and Mary's about to give birth. And then he sends these soldiers to kill all the babies by the time she's through giving birth. Bird, and that's what that's a picture of, that dragon sitting there waiting for that baby to be born to eat it. And that's what that's a picture of. Now, that's giving you that picture in heaven because now he's fixing to be turned loose on planet Earth again. I mean, turned loose. Now, God restrains him right now. But he's fixing to be. And do you know the only thing that's holding him back, Brother Rick? Me and you. The church, those that's been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection, we're the only, the Holy Spirit living in us. The devil and God, God's the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? That's God in us. And God will not let Satan have his way until it's time. And it's almost time. And you see it, and I see it. Yesterday, every nation, including the United States of America, at the UN. By the way, I think that's where those 10 nations are coming from as we get on. Every one of them voted 10 times against Israel. 10 times in one day against Israel. Accused them of bigotry, accused them of murder, accused them of genocide. 10 times in the United States of America. And thank God, let's hope that our new president keeps his word because he says he's going to back up Israel. Amen. That Muslim that's still living in the White House, he done turned them over to the Arabs. Yeah. And the whole world's against Israel right now. The whole world. And the only thing that's stopping the devil from just go ahead and trying to wipe them out and the tribulation period coming is God the Holy Ghost still living in us. Amen. As far as I'm going to get tonight. But we fix, hey, I really believe in my lifetime, and I've all, ever since I've been saved, I believe this. I believe in my lifetime, we are seeing things nobody else has ever seen. And we're seeing things line up. It's lining up for the devil, the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet. It's all getting organized. The computer, the internet, the international money, the international this, international that. And it's all getting lined up for one world government, one world leader. It's getting lined up. And listen, the only thing that's hindering it is us. Trump is going to sound. Amen. We're living in it. Amen. And listen, when the trumpet sounds and we're out of here, the devil is going to be turned loose, buddy. And we need to start telling people. You know what got me under conviction really was? My mother-in-law gave me a book by a man. I wouldn't even recommend you to read the book, but God can use, he's used a jackass before. And so I read this book, and the name of it was Rapture. And on the front of it said, Rapture, Rapture, Rapture. And what it was, it's a fictional story about two families, and one was saved, one wasn't. And most of them in one got taken out in the rapture, and the others had to go through the tribulation period until the second coming of Christ. And that's what that book's about. And I'm going to tell you something. It made me thirsty for more. I want to know more about this. I started picking up little books everywhere I could find them. They used to sell them at the grocery store. I'd pick them up at the grocery store. I watched stuff on television. It made me hungry no more, but it scared me at the same time. Listen, there's folks out there right now, they want to know what's going on, and we know. And listen, Christians are afraid to say anything because we're afraid that they'll make fun of us or think that we're ignorant. No, they're the ones that's ignorant. We're walking in the light. They're walking in darkness. We're walking in knowledge. They're walking in ignorance. Amen? And it's our duty to tell people this. Now, you don't have to know the whole tribulation period and all the events and all that. All you got to do, all you have to know is this. Time's running out. Jesus is coming. Any minute the trumpet can sound. That's all you got to tell people. They'll have nightmares, man. Let's stand. Father, thank you.